Wish Talk Radio on the BBS network, and we're also live streaming on YouTube at East Eddy Stargate. So we've got quite an audience here. I think we've got about 300 people in the room. I'm not sure, but it's pretty close to that. And I have an amazing panel here tonight, and the people here, the speakers that have come here, and the people here have just been awesome. And you guys are the most awesome group I think we've ever had here. So. Funny, we're so diverse, and you can really feel the unity coming together. And although we have different opinions on different things, everybody's just communicating and having a good time. And how many people saw the ships last night? Wow, a lot of people. Did you see the big power-ups that came over the house? Yeah, we got those on film, so we'll show those later. And I know other people had some amazing paranormal experiences, seeing all kinds of beings, and the mountain lighting up, the doors opening. So, I mean, no, tonight we're going to have the same thing, I'm sure, because it's clear. We'll see them a lot clearer. But anyway, I want to get to our panel. We've got Corey Good. Yeah. And, now he's gone through a lot of tribulations to get here, and we're always happy to have him. We've got Barry Middleton.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we got P-Max in the hall, Peter Maxwell Slattery. But, yeah, there's so many places we can go. And I think I'm just going to kind of pass the baton down the row here and, you know, ask whatever questions you want to bring up. I mean, what do you think the most important topic right now on the planet, or concerned ufology, or, you know, whatever you want to talk about?
Well, I guess we can start with the turmoil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go.
I think over the last 3 years, one of the largest thing, or one of the major things that my team has been working for, is unity in the community. That was, you know, saw that, you know, on T-shirts and on memes, you know, for 2 or 3 years. But where's the unity, right? Right? I think, you know, the Edge of Wonder Boys earlier today said it when they were saying that a situation is being created to where the good guys are on one side, the bad guys are on the other. Everyone is self-identifying right now. You know, if you lean towards the darkness, then that's being exposed. If you're service to others and about the light, you know, that is evident as well. So at this point, we can strive for unity, but what we really need to do is focus on bringing as much of the community together as possible to make sure that we keep control of the disclosure narrative, but also control of the narrative of just the esoteric community. You know, there are all of these entities that are coming in, buying up events, really trying to control the narrative and trying to control the community. And a lot of the smaller groups out are being cast out and left out. And we need to come together and basically compete with the other side. That's what I think.
All right, thank you.
You know, I think that testing. Sorry. I was thinking kind of follow up on that too, because this is really representing everything that I've wanted to see. I'm seeing more different people, different ethnicities at these events now. I've only been to a few, but it's decisively changed since I've been coming from the beginning. So I think that that's just the fact that awareness is coming about some of these things, not just contact, but as a community, how we need to pull together as a people in order to become a type 1 civilization. If we're at that point and we're at that shift of consciousness it's going forward, but I mean, it's going to start in places like this, because I think everybody feels very comfortable with being who they are right now, that we got to take this and return to the normal, regular working world and try to manifest it there. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. I personally have gotten really a lot of great conversations going. There's so many brilliant people sitting out here. You know, I mean, seriously, brilliant people. And I've tried to take in it all. Can't keep everybody's name straight, but I'm trying. So I want to say thank you all. I'll say thank you to Corey, James, Pete. We just did a great video today. It'll come out later on Black Extraterrestrials. So it's something that what he's talking about needs to be addressed. And it's great to see this coming together and in a different way. So thank you all very much.
Barry Littleton, great, awesome. So we've got Peter Mick, PM in the house over there, so take it away.
Yeah, I think just to add to what's been said, I think more of what's being done here over the weekend needs to be done worldwide, and we the people need to start controlling the actual narrative of getting the truth back out. Stop looking to, you know, mainstream groups, mainstream media. You'll find that a lot of the time, the people that are being blacklisted are those that they dwindle for years in the background. And what happens is, James has talked to me about this before, where point people, they'll end up coming back to the point, because everything else is bullcrap. It eventually fades out and the truth comes out on the situation. So I just think we need to start taking control of the narrative, which is truth, unity. Unity consciousness doesn't divide. It's exactly that. It's unity. So we need to come back to that place, but really we need to start doing more and more of what's been here over the weekend, because coming together, accepting each other's differences, but learning from each other, and we've all got that piece of the jigsaw puzzle. We've got to start putting that together as a collective, and from there we'll thrive.
Are we here? Yeah. I wanted to comment on that too a little bit, because we've been pretty much, you know, I'm pretty used to this. I've been doing this for quite some time, and I'm used to having the slander and the everything else. And my reply is usually, you know, thank you for establishing your ignorance and your character. Have a nice day. That's basically, and I just let it roll off my back. And if I do feel somebody can, if I can have a dialogue with somebody, even though they're coming at you, if I do feel there's an opening or some way to work with this person, I will. But a lot of times you can't really trespass on another person's truth, and they don't want to open to a new truth. They want to remain in their present understanding, and some want to enforce that understanding. And to me, that gets old. But, you know, whenever I wrote it out in a newsletter, the more somebody is suppressed, the more somebody is censored, I think they really have something to say. And so I get behind him. And I know I've been doing that with Corey and Peter and Barry, you know, and I know all of us have been shunned quite a bit by certain people in the field. And basically the masks are coming down. We're starting to see who they are. We're starting, you know, and a lot of them have a friend named Lucy, you know, Fur. And we're just joking about that up here. We both call them Lucy's, you know, so it's kind of a collective consciousness. But I think it's so important, as they were saying, that we get back to unity consciousness, work together. And, you know, I don't care if somebody worships a turnip, you know, I am behind them all the way. They have a right to worship that turnip, you know, or an onion or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I think an onion worship is pretty good, because there's all these different layers, you know. And so, you know, there probably might be more on track than other things, you know. So anyway, you know, before we start the perpetual order of the onion, you know, we'll go on to the next one.
What's wrong with the blue chicken cold?
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Problem is, I'm not a vegetarian. I still eat chicken, so I have a really problem.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't have any.
I have a problem eating an alien. You know, it just wouldn't feel right to me. No, so. But anyway, yeah, there's so many. You know, it's so vast out there. There are so many. I mean, Barry brings up a lot of that. Some of the beings that he's seen. You know, he's got ant beings and all these different beings that he's connected with. And what I've understood is that almost every creature here on the earth has a higher order to it. So there are beings that are, you know, might be upright, you know. So, you know, we've had all these encounters with these upright felines and all these other things. And so, you know, who knows what's out there? I've seen little beagles in robes, you know, standing upright. They have a beagle head, but they're the masters. They're like the Yodas, you know, of these places. So, I mean, it gets really weird out there. And so you have to practice that non-attachment, get out of fear, and just learn to develop your inner sensitivity, see what they feel like, and do I want to communicate with them? Because we've had guys appear here, look just like E.T., the movie, and they're wearing robes. And I asked, you know, most people would see these, and I have photographs. I showed you some photographs of them. You know, people go, didn't that freak you out? And I said, no, I sit. You got to master fear. I sit and I sense them. I tune into them. And I found out these guys are like grand masters. They're the masters of the masters. They're very ancient. They've been around a real long time. And so it's just so diverse out there. You know, the fact of the matter is imagination is real on the level of imagination. So what's not real? And that really helps your master judgment, because there's so many, there's thought planes, mental planes, everything goes out there, you know. So we just have to let go and listen to other people's stories. And I just go, well, how's that working for you? How's that serving you or others or things like that? And just go from there. But anybody else want to comment on that? Or,
you know, something I want to kind of throw in there also is that something like this, there should also be another panel, like people of scientists in here also, because this is where, I mean, a lot of the reality is coming. I mentioned before, you know, we went over a couple of different technologies I've seen up here, and if I can actually even illustrate it, there's somebody probably in here, or a young awakened starseed, whatever you want to call them, that can make the calculations. And I mean, I know free energy industry right now is having a lot of issues too, I think, just like ufology. But this has got to be overcome. I mean, I don't think that we're in a pretty serious situation right now. And I don't know how much time there is, you know. There's no time to waste. So I think the unity on that and collective consciousness as far as making our science more spirit-based. And that's going to come along with the organics we discussed yesterday. So it's just, you know, something I think needs to happen. And I'd like to see more scientists come involved and get involved in these groups.
That's where a lot of the rifts are. It's between the nuts and bolts types that if it isn't documented, it doesn't exist, and the people that are more faith-based, spiritually based. You know, in our movie Above Majestic, one of the major themes of the movie was that as you evolve and expand your consciousness and or as you develop technology, you need to match that growth with consciousness. Because if your technological growth occurs faster than your spiritual growth, that's how many civilizations have destroyed themselves on this planet and off. So why do these types want to suppress the spiritual side? Why do they only want the technological, the AI, and all of that to build out? And a lot of it does tie back to the Luciferian agenda. It's an AI transhumanist agenda. So that's one of the reasons why we're having a lot of problems bringing in scientists to work with us and even take what we're saying seriously enough to, you know, try to, you know, use some of their equations against our information. It's been pretty difficult.
They definitely have the giggle factor in there, and they have their pensions and their positions, and they've written books, but this information goes far beyond that. And when these scientists do come up here, a lot of times I get challenged by them, and I said, well, you agree there's at least 11 dimensions out there, correct? And said, yes. And I said, well, then you know this exists, so now you've got fading out here. So you have so now you're demanding physical proof of non-physical dimensions or non-physical evidence. I said it doesn't work that way, but we do have technology that does go into the fourth dimension, which is infrared, and fifth dimension, which is ultraviolet, and things like that. We do have technology now that can see into those dimensions, and the cameras can see more of the visible light spectrum than our eyes. And so now with everybody up here with their cameras and their infrared goggles and the night vision and everything else, they're just getting the most incredible footage. So there are ways of doing it. You just have to be open to it and learn to bridge the two, the spirit and science and the higher dimensional realities.
Add to that, there we go. I think it's got to come down to what's been talked about already too, which is we need to have the level of consciousness to be able to deal with these technologies. Like an experience I did have with the reptilians years ago, they'll show me that they've peaked at their stage of evolution because of their intention with their consciousness, because they're in service mode to themselves rather than service to others. They've peaked where they can go. So the more that we as a collective can join together, yeah, we've got our individual aspect, but then there's also the collective aspect. Once we can sort of start to master both of those as a civilization, then I think a lot of this will pump out a lot quicker, because we've got to be able to have the level of consciousness to deal with what these devices can do for negative and positive as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's some things, you know, if you had a craft that could go, you know, several thousand miles instantly, which is what countergravity does, and you have unconscious terrorists out there, that probably wouldn't be a good idea to put that in their hands, you know, or things of that nature. So we do have to evolve and choose peace, you know, on universal principles or universal law as a planetary thing. I think that's so important. Now, what I've seen, I'd love to get your comments on it, is that there seems to be two factions here, and this is the same scenario that we did in Atlantis and Lemuria. Atlantis, they wanted control and domination. They used their technology to power over others, and now we have the same thing happening here. We have the deep state and their technologies and this major surveillance and misuse of weapons, chemtrails, everything else. We have that same thing going. Well, the Lemurians on the other side were the law of one. They saw the creator in all creation, and they were saying, hey, you guys are blowing it. You're taking the wrong direction. And we have that same thing happening right now on the planet, that same choice. Are we going to use our technology in service to humanity, or are we going to do it to control and dominate and things of that nature? And I think we're going in the more positive direction, but I'd love to get any of your takes on that, or where do you see this going? Do you think we're going to do the same thing again, you know, like we did in the past, and have to start over as primitives because of some cataclysmic technology problem? Or
yeah, the information that I received was that the Atlantean civilization was pretty much wiped out, but the remnants of that civilization, there were two families that came from Mars, and they went to the moon for a little while, and then they came here. There were two families that were based in Antarctica. One family took South America and the Americas to develop, and the other family group took Africa on up through Europe. And when the last solar cataclysm occurred, it destroyed a lot of their technology, and they were not able to fly around as much, and they weren't able to meet each other. And that didn't occur again until right around the time of Columbus. There was a reason that the Illuminati were funding it. They already knew that the land was there, and they had long lost family there. And what has occurred is that these same beings that made those mistakes during the time of Atlantis, they've remained in a certain amount of control, and they've been guiding us to make the same types of mistakes through the same types of agendas. And what's occurring now is we're leading up to another cycle of some sort of solar event. And I believe, from what I've been told, that because when the solar event occurs, it is once again going to create a situation to where these pre-Adamites and the reptilians, who I am told worship something akin to an AI god, that is going to be cleared, and we're going to have an opportunity for the first time to not be manipulated and to develop on our own. But right now we're all fighting to get to that moment, or fighting to keep our heads above water until I think the universe assists us. What was that?
I don't know.
Somebody throw something at us?
We have things move around here by themselves now and then.
Okay.
You know, I think that right now, when speaking of Atlantis and Lemuria, we've got so many souls right now that are incarnating that have memory of that, past life memory of that. Encountering a lot of people generally that when they've been in Atlantis, they tend to have a fear of water problem, fear of drowning, things of that nature. But I think that right now is the time when a lot of us are reincarnating, a lot of people that are ascended masters that are not being known as that, but that's what they are within their own perception, own awareness, all right? And I think that that's what's happening right now to erase and actually start dealing with some of the karma of what happened in the past to try to stop it. I also believe that there are factions here that are willing to help if we reach out and if we can actually just operate on a collective consciousness and reach out to them. We're seeing it out here. We're seeing different things like that, but it's got to be more on a global scale. I mean, the Vulcans aren't just going to
do it,
come in and land, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I think we've got to remember, too, that, you know, we've had the Lyran Wars, the Orion Wars, Sirius has gone through stuff, the Pleiades, the Crux system, the Pegasus system, Orion, Andromeda constellation, and also out into the Andromeda galaxy and beyond. All these civilizations have gone through similar stuff to us. But we are a conglomerate. We're like a super being in the 3D realm, and we're really going through a test much more than anyone else has because of what we are capable of if we realize that. So everything's amplified due to the conglomerate of many things in our genetics. And so with the R part of the brain introduced as well, you know, things again get even more amplified, but we can start to master our thoughts and manifest from the blueprint which thought connects to and do that, anchor it into the physical, as above, so below. That's what we're really got to get back into and really come back into the heart.
All right. Thank you. Definitely. Yeah. The what I've seen happening right now, that these two factions right now, and I don't like to separate, but it's kind of there's a separation game going on, and there's a great amplifier coming in right now that's amplifying everything. And so the Native American prophecies have talked about this. They've all talked about this. The people that choose a spiritual life in harmony with each other and the earth take the high road. They keep going. The ones that go off to technology for control and domination, their world ends. You know, so it's in all the prophecies. You hear the same thing. And that's what I've been seeing. But it's so obvious now when you know these prophecies, you can see who's who. And who's playing which side. So, and it's very evident now, the people that are pushing the hate, the race card, the gender card, the division card, they're creating all these divisions. What they do is they're playing people like a fiddle. And so if you've had any trauma, you know, if you've had relationship trauma, emotional trauma, even old trauma like ethnic trauma or whatever else, They're playing that like a fiddle, and they're getting you all worked up. They're feeding on that as well, and they think that's a power base for them. And so be aware of that group. You know, what if everybody went to one of these rallies and just started hugging everybody, you know, hugging each other? It doesn't matter what color you are, what culture you are. It doesn't matter. It's really important. The one thing I wanted to say is I know Corey has his blue guys out there, and it was kind of funny. The Barry asked me once, he goes, "What's the deal, man? You talk about these Pleiadians, these Nordics," and he goes, "Where's the black guys? Where's the black ETs?" You know, and he's something like that. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I've seen gray ones, I've seen blue ones, I've seen purple, I've seen all these different beings, and I said, nobody's come to me yet. You know, I can't say anything's real because it's not come to me, but I'm sure they're out there. And the very next day, this beautiful black ET shows up and goes, "We're here," you know. So it was quite interesting. And when I look at the beings from Orion, some of the Orion Counts of Light beings, when you look at them, I said, "I see every race in you. I see every race in you." And they said, "We're very, very old, and we've already blended. All of our genetics have blended together." And when you look at them, you go, "Are they Asian? Are they black? Are they what? Are they white? What are?" And they're like this mix of all the genetics. And it's amazing, you know, seeing that. And these beings are six-dimensional beings, you know, so they still have a form. But it's just amazing watching this. So it's funny because I'm glad that Barry's out there bringing this question out and saying, hey, you know, because everybody's talking about the what were you calling them? The
Fabio.
Fabio. Yeah.
Kevin Fabio. Sorbo as Hercules, and maybe Christy Brinkley, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah. But I've had quite a few, even kind of panther type beings that have multicolored. They have black and different stripes on them and things like that showing up. But I what I found out was I asked them, I go, how come I haven't seen these other beings? And they said, you're under our tutorage. I was under the Palladian, the Ryan Council of Light. And because of that, because I was under their wing, the others were kind of stepping away and saying, no, we want to, you're working with them right now. But before that, when I first had my drowning, the second near-death experience, when I came back, I didn't want to talk to any of these guys. They're all spooks to me. You know, I don't know what you're, like, I'm only talking to Jesus. That's it. You know, so he was appearing to me. And he said, you need to, and he was teaching me from within and meditations. And then he brought Babaji in and he said, you need to learn Eastern thought now. So I studied 12 years of yoga and bhakti yoga and things like that. And then next thing brings White Eagle in. He says, now you need to go work with the Native Americans. So I sat with them. A lot of chiefs come here on a regular basis and went through there, learned their process. And by the end of all that, finally, I just go, you know, same. We all go to the same place. We all come back from the same place. But there's these signposts and cultural pathways, but they all end up at the same place, you know, and that was the conclusion I came to. But I'm seeing it's the same thing with the ETs. There's this huge unified field we all exist in, and they're just using more of it. You know, they're taking in more of that unified field, and we can take in the whole unified field if we want. We have that capability, but through a lot of their history, you know, they didn't have to start over as primitives, and they aren't having to deal with all this race war and gender war and all this other crap that's going on right now. And I think that's the path we all need to get on. But I'd love to hear your comments on that. Anybody else want to comment on that?
You know, just to kind of add to that, it takes it a little different, but something just to say, you know, when right now on this planet, it's a lot of darkness, a lot of negativity. And I think for us, especially people in here, everyone I see in here is pretty much God-fearing people, prime creator-fearing people. So you're under attack at all times. That's really what it is down here. You have to stay protected at all times and remember that it's the negative thoughts. A lot of these entities begin as negative thoughts. They start building up enough energy that they use our own pineal gland as a wormhole, mm-hmm. and they start manifesting out into your third dimensional life and normally in a way that affects your finances and stresses you out. Mm-hmm. Just like we know when I've been in a haunted house, normally I'll catch you to see these spirits hiding in closets, using the cashmere effect to try to gain energy, or they'll move into the plumbing, cause the people a lot of problems. They move into the car, mess with the water, the liquids in the car. Sure, you've seen it before, you know. So just be aware of the thoughts and things that we've been so entrenched in negativity through the mainstream that when we do have other beings trying to reach out to us, whether it's through the quantum hologram or another way when dealing with the divine field, this affects on how they interact with our brains through the divine field. Our fear and these negative thoughts can actually change the whole nature of the contact experience. So I just want to throw that out there.
All right, and changing our thoughts too, I think. Oh yeah, give Barry a nod. I think as I went over in the presentations and other talks and that, our thoughts are the key to all this, like, everything that's happening, whether we have, and I do see a possibility, unfortunately, that there could be race wars started up again, religious wars. We've got all these things that divide us, and this is what they play on, and it's all activated through a thought. We can be somewhere somebody does us wrong. We can have, love, compassion, forgiveness, but we could react. That's the flip side. We could punch him in the head. We could, you know, do whatever. But this is where we really need to take notice of our thoughts, because they're like seeds. They can grow beautiful fruit
or they can bring up fruit that's just got no nutrients, it looks dull, it's ugly. This is where we really have to start at the self-mastery level of looking at our thoughts, observing them, and then going to a place of love again and see how we react after we can do that, rather than just being reactionary mind. Because like you were saying, we've got the R part of the brain. That's where our fear, lust, greed, our triggers happen. And the reptilians know that, and the R part of the brain's around that. And so with that introduced, this is where, as we've talked about, getting on a loop, they can give you loops on something you did 20 years ago that has been dealt with, and you're like, why have I been thinking about this for 3 hours? So we're in a war on thought right now, and that's what we've got to take notice of.
It's a war on consciousness.
Exactly. Yeah, war on consciousness, yeah.
Yeah, this is a consensus reality. We all create this reality together through our thoughts and our intentions. If we're expecting something negative to happen, we're going to make something negative happen. So for this consensus reality, for them to control it, they have to control our thoughts. That's why mind control is so important for them. If they can control our thoughts, they control our reality.
I agree. Thank you. Yeah, we have a saying here at the ranch. There's two things we say: just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And so the more important one is, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing, you know. So, and we have those, we teach people how to heal here, and it's very simple. It's on the cards, it's in the books, it's in the back of every book that I've written, because it is so important. And we all have guides and masters waiting. And you can engage the known masters like Kuan Yin, Babaji, Mary, Yeshua, anybody, you know, they're still around. There's the House of Mary, which is this beautiful divine feminine energy. The reptilians hate, you know, they can't stand it. But, it's like mama going up to hug the bad little boy, you know, they run away. But it's kind of interesting watching that. But it's very simple technique, and we're going to do that at the end of the show. We're actually going to do that clear out the space, and it's on the website. But it's so important, if we all just do clearings on a regular basis, again, be self-aware. Self-mastery is monitoring your consciousness. Don't get into reactionary mind and get into creationary mind and create the world you want, and keep these other critters away from you. By doing these clearings, it's amazing what happens. And, you know, that, what is it? One positive thought or like outweighs like a million negatives, you know. So just the people in this room, if we all took personal responsibility and did that, imagine how much that's going to affect. And you know, this show is going out to, I think, 88 affiliates in 33 countries right now. So everybody that's listening to this show, if you do the same thing, guess what? We can turn this planet around.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
No.
All righty then. Okay, next subject.
That's a bit awkward.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much going on. I'd love to hear some of the groups, maybe starting with Corey. I know he's had several groups, and one of the questions I'm wondering about, you got the secret space fleet, but then you have all these higher dimensional beings. Is the secret space fleet actually working with the higher dimensional beings, or is it kind of split? Or?
Well, not on purpose.
Yeah.
A lot of times they end up working with higher dimensional beings, are helping higher dimensional beings, both positive and negative, not knowing why they're being manipulated they're being, you know, kind of manipulated. But for the most part, very few people in the space program even are aware that there is communication going on with a lot of ETs. If they see a strange craft zip through their airspace, they're told that's one of our experimental craft. Hmm. You know, and so there, it is so compartmentalized that you have to be one of the people that it is your job to interact with ETs to really have the information. There can be one little group on a ship that is kind of quiet and to themselves, and they're the ones interacting with the ETs. They're the ones that are taking part in these intergalactic slave trades and doing these dark things. And everyone else, they're like on a naval vessel. They're doing their job, God and country, you know, they're good people, but they have no idea in another compartment what is going on. And there's very dark things. And that's how I discovered, you know, the human slave trade going on. It was, I got kind of pulled into a situation, and I had been there years and I had no idea that that was going on.
Is now, do they have some kind of a embassy or a place for interaction with the more benevolent ones?
Yes. There are these space stations. There's one off of far outside the orbit of Saturn that no one really ever goes to. That's some guardian group controls it. And then there's another one close to Jupiter, the same distance away. I mean, Jupiter looks real small from the station. And this is where these galactic federation groups come together and discuss this grand experiment, of this grand ascension experiment that is a genetic experiment and a spiritual experiment. And they discuss it. And
Great. Yeah, I've always wondered about that. You know, to me, it's like, you know, even though we do have some pretty advanced technology compared to some of these other beings that are thousands of years ahead of us, even Mayans, it's probably not in our highest and best good to go firing on these guys.
You know,
they could turn the planet into a cinder if they wanted. But I'm really hoping these guys aren't trigger happy out there.
No, a whole protocol's developed back before we developed the ability to Solar Warden, the ability to patrol our own solar system. These groups came and went as they wanted. Now, when they come in, they have to have permission before they come in. When they come in, they have to give a friend or foe signal. Mm-hmm. If they don't, we're going to chase them down, and then there's a possibility of conflict. There are these protocols set up now. But, you know, if someone comes into our solar system without a friend or foe signal, they're going to have different ET groups from our solar system that think they own it, as well as the secret space program, you know, converging on them to find out what's going on, why they're there.
Okay. I want to jump in here. Okay. Privately, a couple times last night, and especially today, we talked about, instead of it being so much these space worlds, wars, a temporal war.
Yes.
And you gave me the best description of a temporal war I've ever heard today. I was wondering if maybe you would be interested in going into that a little bit. It's so real, and I think...
Are you talking about the Anshar, when I was telling you about how...
Like the time and...
The timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Anshar are... Some of these inner Earth groups are us from the future. And what had occurred is that sometime in our future, thousands of years, all of these groups, you know, had naturally developed in their timeline. And they started getting these weird Mandela effect type of things. And they were able, through their consciousness technology, to trace it back like 17 million years. So they sent a small group back 17 million years to manicure the timeline. Well, it turned out that there were not only reptilian type groups, but all of these other groups that were also, they wanted a different timeline to occur. So they were going back in time, manipulating things, jumping around in time. They can jump around in time as easily as we think of them jumping around in space. You know, if they're, you know, warp technology jumping around, there's no difference between time and space at that, when they're at that level. So they've been manicuring this timeline, and we have reptilians that have come in, and they're saying, no, this is not the correct timeline. Dinosaurs were on this planet, and they were supposed to naturally develop into us. And this is one of the things that they claimed. And, you know, this mammalian group came in and destroyed this reptilian experiment and created this current experiment. And they're fighting to restore this timeline that they're claiming exists, but there's a lot of deception in that. They're fighting, not everyone thinks of this big war with the reptilians as this major galactic battle, but it's really a temporal battle. They're fighting over a timeline
Boom. Boom. I'll tell you, and this ties in for anybody that was listening when I spoke yesterday. I showed you an illustration that was from my childhood of these Nordics that I bit some crow on, all right? But nonetheless, when we start talking, and I'm convinced that those are time travelers, based on the fact that there were windows in this craft, and in the room I was in, it looked like a holographic, almost recording station. But then he had mentioned this, and it almost sounds like these gentlemen might be some type of temporal commission, temporal officers, something like that, or just historians. Either more, it puts more into the plot of it, I think, and it's worth observation. Mm. You know, I've heard for a long time how there were certain factions that were trying to jump our timelines in every way into a war, and how much when we detonate any bomb that's based on the hydrogen molecule, how it tears through the dimensions. So I think that's all relative right now.
We're talking earlier too, Barry, about there was information I wrote back years ago in terms of there was something to do with the solar type of event. Now, I don't know if it had to do with what you've been describing, Corey, but where basically there was a large amount of humanity was sent into the Earth. Now, some of them turned into greys, worked with the reptilians, and then some of that faction broke off and went into Zeta Reticuli, put outposts throughout the solar system and beyond. The ones that were on the surface, they ended up going to the Pleiades and Orion, but then there was different factions coming back from about 20,000 years in the future to 40 plus, and I've come across other people that had even been in military projects that talked to me with the same or if not similar information. But when we talk about this time war going on, I think a weird thing to add in is the AI, because they're jumping back and forth in time, but that AI is a multi-dimensional technology that's still affecting them millions of years ahead. So this is the thing that's got to be brought down, and this is what is feeding we're actually feeding that grid to stay in existence through fear, the energy that it's sucking up through, I guess, that circuitry board of our cities and roads that I was talking about presenting the other day, where we look at computer circuits and then, or energy circuit boards, and then we look at certain temple structures, shopping centres, you know, we look at the domes, the churches, mosques, all these different devices. It's basically sucking that energy up, feeding the AI. So there's this thing where the AI is still in existence in the future and back in time as well, because it's multidimensional.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a geek like me, Star Trek geek, this sounds very much like Star Trek Voyager and DS9 dealt with what they call the temporal cold war. And I think that's somewhat accurate to what we might be witnessing here.
Well, all ETs, everyone in the secret space program, when you use this technology, they're all time travelers. You know, when you're traveling these vast distances in a blink of an eye, that's time travel.
100%.
And when they're traveling through the cosmic web, in the cosmic web, there is no time. You know, so when this AI consciousness, the best way they can describe it, was bled into our reality, it inhabits multiple realities. When it invaded our reality, we can't even tell when it is, if it happened a year ago or 10,000 years ago, because once they came into our reality, they were in all time, you know, present, past, and future.
Yeah,
it's an interesting concept. You know, I was talking about that. We watched this ship up there morph into four ships and back to one again, and I go, wow, that's some technology. And the more I thought about that, I said, I don't know if I could handle four me's, you know, like, and how would you go back, you know, to your other you, and then there's three other you's, and it's kind of an interesting concept. And could you handle that? Could you handle, it'd almost be like having four death experiences or something, or and so you really got to get out of this fear of death and fear of everything else if you're going to do these jumps and things like that. And get out of your ego, because, you know, I thought about that. Let's say you're flying along, your ship gets blasted, and you, somebody just goes back in time and gets on the ship and just goes, hey, left turn, you know, like don't go there, left turn, you know, hit warp 7 or something. And then did that ever exist, or that timeline? It's kind of interesting. So I always thinking about, people see these craft flying alongside of each other sometime, and they'll see an exchange going on between the two crafts. And they go, oh, it's a war. You know, they're two ships, and they're blasting each other like ships, like cannons or something like that. And I go, you know, if these guys are that advanced, they're going to be popping in from another dimension, another time, and do their thing and get out. You know, that's the kind of wars that would happen with an advanced civilization. But, I see that. And I was watching these two, and they just cruised along side by side, and there was an exchange going on. And I go, I'll bet you they're like, people are going back and forth transporting or goods or supplies or something. You know, it just didn't seem like nobody's doing any evasive maneuvers or anything else. So we have to be careful about projecting our consciousness into these venues, because it's so far beyond what we can think. I mean, they're so advanced. And that's in the UFO community. People go, it's nuts and bolts. It's the Nazis, you know. It's the back engineering. It's they're all bad, you know, or they're all good, you know. And it's time travel. And each group says, this is it. This is it. And I'm going, it's all the above. You know, it's all going on. So we can't pigeonhole this anymore. And I've said that over and over. The only way we are going to figure this out is if everybody learns to cooperate and put their information on the table and share. And then we'll get the big picture, because nobody has the big picture. Mm-mm. Except me. No, I just didn't. But I figured this all out. I found it all fits really nice into the great mystery. And I just put it in there, and then we're good.
Just plug it in.
He's joking.
So anybody else want to take it from there?
I just think, you know, we've just got to keep coming back to, look, we're all one consciousness interacting with itself. And even though there's these dark forces, what they bring to the table for us spiritually is to think outside the box, to raise our consciousness to where that can no longer affect us. And we're saying that the AI and what's been done by what I call the lower light is a virus, and we are the antivirus to it. Mm-hmm. And if we come at that from a place of love, this is just going to be a memory. One thing they showed me eventually what happens is that if you can imagine source like a cell in our body that regenerates every 7 years. Now, I'm not saying it on a 7-year scale, of course, but the universe does that too. It's one day going to rejuvenate, regenerate, and this is all just going to be a memory for the overall collective, where this has been knowledge and experiences that had to be done differently. And then for the overall collective, it just starts over again, and it will do something completely different again. So this is, you know, one consciousness interacting with itself. Right now I'm looking at 300 me. You know, it's pretty trippy to think of, but we've just got to keep positive about things. Not everything's doom and gloom, but it's up to us to do this ourselves, humanity, not for us to look to the ETs as gods and go, they're going to solve it. We've got to do it. They can be there to assist and help and guide, but ultimately we've got to do this ourselves and start reining in some, you know, I think tactics on how we've got to deal with ourselves first and really do the self-mastery thing and then do it as a collective.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Wow. I can make up a question sometimes. You know, I have a question. And just, of course, I'm known for using movie references. Let me go ahead and do that. You know, when dealing with the subject of AI...
Not the Little Mermaid again.
I wonder... I thought Daryl Hannah, Tom Hanks. Or when John Candy was dropping the change. seriously, but on the subject of AI, I wonder what's going to happen in the future, which way we'll take. Would it be the way of something like the Terminator, where the AI declares war upon us because humanity is so illogical? You know what I'm saying? Or would it be more, does anybody remember from the day the earth stood still, Klaatu's speech at the end? Uh-huh. Remember he said that we weren't going to be able to take war out into the cosmos, and that they had developed a robot force, police force, that was autonomous and would act immediately upon violence. And it's very interesting when you remember how that robot came out first, but it didn't do anything until he got injured. You know, so he got shot. And I'm just thinking, is that the way we're going to go as a type 1 civilization? Will AI take that type of a form? Or is it going to be like that, or something like that old movie Runaway with Tom Selleck and Gene Simmons? Just food for thought.
Well, what we go back to with these Luciferian groups, it's always this transhumanist agenda. It's this artificial ascension through technology, not through the spiritual path that we focus on. So their goal is to create a reality to, and this has happened in other galaxies. This AI consciousness has taken over entire galaxies. So I've got off my train of thought.
Oh, yeah.
Is it possible that oil, unrefined oil, is AI?
Black goo.
It sure does act like. If you remember that explosion or that BP oil spill, when I saw that and see that come out, I mean, the way oil reacts to water on this planet, the way it's trapped underneath the tectonic plates, is that some type of an AI? Just food for thought, because it sure does have all the characteristics of organism, along with being technically by humanity, it would have been enslaved if you look how it's used.
Yeah.
So that's just a question I would throw out there. But what do you think?
I don't know.
That's trippy.
Sorry, James. I'm getting weird over.
No, that's all right. I've read a lot about the black goo and all the other stuff, and I guess Hitler was playing around with that. And I know they'd like to get that into all of our systems if they can. And they have all these other agendas, you know, with the chemtrails, trying to turn us into an antenna. And, you know, it's a war on creation, basically. So there's so many different facets of that they're doing. And it goes back to these two groups. You know, you've got the Luciferian groups, or the people that are just focused on unbridled greed, and they want total control and domination of everything. And then you have the other groups who are saying, hey, I love creation. I just want to support creation and be of service. And I think it's up to each and every one of us to really live our lives with impeccable integrity and do the right thing and be of service to each other and the planet, and learn we're all family, basically. Get back. In ancient times, you know, God was a female, and she gave birth to everything, all creation, and everything was family. And I think that's a lot better choice right now, to take that path rather than take this patriarchal bearded God with a laptop taking notes and calling us all bad doobies and whatever, you know, these other programs. We need to let go of those old images of the bearded gods and the religions and get back to universal law and basics. And when we do that, it's really simple. And, you know, just universal law is very simple. Universal peace, brother-sisterly love, individual freedom and prosperity for everyone. It's that simple. Those are the guidelines. And if you really want to boil it down, it's like love and kindness. You know, be loving and kind to each other, be loving and kind to the planet. It's really that simple. And all these intellectual rhetorics and people doing this and that, it's so far off base. You know, are you creating heaven on earth or are you not? You know, it's really that simple.
Okay. I didn't want to say before. 5 minutes. I want to say something real
probably
quick.
Probably just got a couple minutes left now.
I wanted to say something real quick that you touched on. And Ari, the inner earth priestess, communicating with me, one of the things she was trying to get me to understand is that the divine feminine went way out of balance after the last cataclysm. And she said that a major part of ascension is, before we can really ascend and our consciousness can reach that next expansion, we have to rebalance the divine feminine, that's an very important part of us being able to reach the next level. And when you said what you said, it reminded me of that.
Yeah, we are getting a huge influx of that right now.
Yes.
It seems.
Yes.
Especially with the Palladians. The Palladians are very matriarchal, and people don't realize that. In the time of Jesus, there was two sections there. There was his group, and then there was the house of Mary. And guess where Jesus hung out all the time? In the house of Mary, because they were loving and kind and nurturing, and that's where he hung out. But and it was much bigger. It was huge. And a lot of us in this audience right now were a part of the house of Mary or are working with the house of Mary. And the house of Mary right now is so strong on the earth. It's coming in so strong. And it's lined up with the Shekinah energies, which are all these other divine feminine beings, all the way up to Kuan Yin and these grand masters. And that's the huge reset that we're experiencing right now, the balance that Corey was talking about. It's coming in, and it's up to us to adjust to it, you know, and work with it.
All right. Drop the mic.
Yeah, drop the mic and walk out. No. I think we just have, what do you have, about two, three more minutes? One?
Two.
All right. So anyway, want to go down the line here. What's the best way to contact you, Corey, to get more information about the work you're doing and the various projects?
The best way is to follow me on spherebeingalliance.com or, you know, through my social media, Sphere Being Alliance. I put out a lot of updates and a lot of information on social media.
Nice.
Barry? You can reach me. Still feel silly for me to do the oil thing. Anyway, you can reach me at BarryLittleton.com. It's got a link to all the social medias I do. I do a lot of stuff on YouTube. That's probably the best way. My email's on there too, BarryLittleton13@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. And for myself, just go to petermaxwellslattery.com or ecityaustralia.org, and you can follow all the social media stuff there. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, well, I can't thank all you guys enough for all the work you're doing and have been doing and will do in the future. And I think we have a major alliance here right now on this stage, and hopefully it'll continue to go in that direction. And not just with us, but with this big alliance in this room as well. So give everybody a big hand, yourself and the people on the stage. Thank you. And unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish we could answer questions, but we can't. So this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio and East Eddie Stargate signing off. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent. That's all you need. Have a great evening. Good night.